Thank you for joining me for our midweek Bible study. This week we are in the same passage as last week, but we're going to add verses 9 and 10. So we're back in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 4 through 10 today. Now, as you find your place in God's Word, if you have it there with you, I encourage you to turn there. I want to remind you that last week we saw that Jesus is our cornerstone. He is our firm foundation, and we also saw that we respond to Him by either believing in Him or rejecting Him. There's no middle ground. It's either you believe Him or you don't. If you reject Jesus, He becomes a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. But verse 8 continues to explain that those who reject Jesus stumble because they disobey the Word. Those of us who believe are described as living stones, a spiritual house. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the houses of God. Additionally, we are being built into a royal priesthood. Now, the royal priesthood is what we want to look at today. And so we will look in verses 4 through 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And so verse 4 says, "As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in Him will never be put to shame.' So honor will come to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone, and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobeyed the Word. They were destined for this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for your Word. We ask that you would bless the reading of your Word, the teaching of your Word, and also bless those that are listening to your Word, that we would each gain from your Word today as we look here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look in this passage, we saw the word priesthood in verses 5 as well as verse 9. And so we need to first understand some of the basics of what a priest does, and that will take us back and to look at the duties of the Old Testament priest. And so as we read through Exodus and Numbers, we'll see that the ones who would minister would or be the priest of the Lord, actually even more than just the priest, but those who would minister would come from the tribe of Levi. But when it came to being a priest, one had to be a descendant of Aaron. And so Aaron was the brother of Moses, and it was from his line that the priest would come. The Old Testament priest, they had to keep themselves holy and had additional regulations that they had to follow in their daily conduct. They were responsible for the offering of the sacrifices prescribed in the Torah. The high priest was the only one that would be able to enter into the most holy place. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 speak of this. It says, "Now the first covenant also had regulations for ministry in an earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was set up, and in the first room, which is called the holy place, were the lampstand, the table, and the presentation loaves. Behind the second curtain was a tent called the most holy place. It had the gold altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered with gold on all sides, in which was a gold jar containing the manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. The cherubim of glory were above the ark, overshadowing the mercy seat." It is not possible to speak about all these things in detail right now. With these things prepared like this, the priest entered the first room repeatedly performing their ministry. But the high priest alone enters the second room, and he does that only once a year and never without blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people, and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. So it was in this second room that the high priest entered into the presence of God. It was there once a year that the high priest offered the sacrifice of atonement on behalf of the Israelites as well as himself. It was the high priest that stood as the representative to God for the people, while also standing as the representative to the people for God. Now, there is a new high priest and a new priesthood that is being built by God. Now, this high priest is Jesus. And he is the high priest of a holy priesthood. Now, this priesthood, of course, has the high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verses 1 through 10. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed in matters pertaining to God for the people to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he is also clothed with weakness. Because of this, he must make an offering for his own sins as well as for the people. No one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but God, who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have become your father,' also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.' During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. After he was perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and he was declared by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus is our great high priest, and he has appointed those that believe in him to be a part of a holy priesthood. If you are saved, you are a priest of the Most High God. This in and of itself is a great honor and privilege. But as we look at our passage for today out of 1 Peter chapter 2, this passage also says that in addition to being a priest, you are also a chosen race. If you are in Christ, you are part of that chosen race. Now, race is a touchy subject in our nation. The media and others, they want us to focus on our differences, thereby dividing us. But Jesus is doing something different among those that believe in him. And so what we must realize is that since Jesus ascended into heaven, he has been working on making a new race, a race made up of people from every country, from every people group, every ethnicity, and every color. He is making a chosen race, a race chosen not based on their skin color, their ethnicity, their class, or any metric such as that, but a chosen race that was chosen because they believe in Jesus. If you've believed in Jesus, you're part of this chosen race. Not only part of a chosen race, but also a priest of the Most High God. Not only a priest of the Most High God, as well as part of a chosen race, but also part of a holy nation. When we believe in Jesus, we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So we are part of a holy nation, a nation set apart, a nation that is peculiar from the world, a nation that is consecrated and walks in holiness. We are also a people for his possession. We are the people of God. We were bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This should cause us to think about how we view ourselves. As Americans, we have the privilege of freedom. We are free to do what we want, when we want, and how we want, as long as it's within the law. But my salvation, it supersedes my nationality. I must please my Savior rather than myself. I must be obedient to the Word of God. There are things that are acceptable in our nation that is not acceptable according to the law of God. And so I must be obedient to the Word of God because I'm no longer my own. I am the possession of the Lord because I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I must not only accept that I am God's possession, but I must also live like it, recognizing that I answer to someone else. I have someone that not only is my Lord and my Savior and my God, but also owns me. And in addition to the things that we've looked at, that we are a chosen race, a holy nation, a people for his possession, of course, again, a royal priesthood, we were also called out of darkness. If we've been saved, then we have been called out of darkness and into light, but not just any light. We have been called into his marvelous light. We are able to see reality. We can see the spiritual aspects of creation. We can see things that lost people can't. You know, one of the things that I see and I recognize in the day and age that we live in is that there is a lot of spiritual undercurrents that are going on. We see things in the news, but and we may think that the geopolitical situation is having its cause and effect going on, but in reality, what is going on is that there are spiritual forces that are raging war against the Lord and against His people, and we're seeing that play out in the physical realm. And so by being called out of darkness, you can see clearly because the light of God is shining upon you, and you're able to see what is going on and be and therefore able to pray and intercede for others, as we'll look at in just a moment. Not only are we all these things that we've looked at, but we're also God's people. There's a new identity for people who have been saved. We're the people of God. We are His representatives to the world. And so we need to ask ourselves, do other people see Christ in us? Can they say without a doubt that you are a follower of God, that you are God's possession? And we've also received mercy. And so as we think about that, if we've been saved, we've received mercy. Now, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Let me repeat that. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You're not going to hell because you've received mercy. That mercy came from Christ dying for you. He paid the price for your sins so that you can receive mercy. And if you have received God's mercy, then you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession. He has given us a purpose in all of this, in receiving mercy, in being His people, in being called out of darkness, being a people of His possession, a holy nation, a chosen race. In all this, He has a purpose, and that is that we are His priest. And so as His priest, we are to reflect the holiness of the great high priest. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct." And so we are to reflect the holiness of the great high priest and to walk in holiness, to be holy because He is holy. And we are also to offer spiritual sacrifices. Again, from our passage today, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "You yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built into a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So as those living stones, as a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood of God, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? How do we offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord? Well, with it being a spiritual sacrifice, it's not a physical animal sacrifice as the Jewish people did. Rather, it is different. We are to be a living sacrifice according to Romans 12:1. We are to offer the sacrifice of praise according to Hebrews 13:15. We are to offer the sacrifices of good works as well as being generous and giving according to Acts 20:35. And we are to offer the sacrifices of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." And so that is another way that we sacrifice, is by praying. It is our job to pray for everyone, both people inside the church as well as outside the church. And our chief intercession should be for the salvation of the lost. And so as God's representatives to the people of the world, as His priest, we should be praying for their salvation and making those intercessions on their behalf. And not only are we to do that, but we're to proclaim praises. Our role as priest is to be like our high priest, Jesus Christ, to offer the spiritual sacrifices and to proclaim praises. And so how do we do that? Well, one way that we can do that is to tell people what God has done for you. If you're saved, you should be able to tell people how God has changed you. You should be able to declare to others how God is blessing you. Not only talking about when you got saved, but how is God blessing you right here, right now? You know, I think one of the reasons why we are losing ground in society is that we have failed to legitimately proclaim the praises of the Lord among the lost. You know, every day we have something to praise God for. We can praise Him for life. We can praise Him for eternal life, for abundant life. We can praise Him when things are good, and we can praise Him when things are bad. We can praise Him in all things because He is good. Most of all, we can praise Him for Jesus and do what we are called to do. We can tell this community, this world, and everywhere that what Jesus has done for us. And we need to. We need to proclaim the praises of the Lord by sharing with others how good God has been to us. And I want to encourage you to do that, to share with others what Jesus has done, to remember your position as a high priest, a holy priest in the priesthood of God, that you are representing God to others, and that you are to be an intercessor for others, like those priests of the Old Testament stood between God and man. We are to make intercession in praying for the lost. Write down a name of somebody that you can pray for that is lost. It may be a coworker, it may be a family member, it may be a friend or an acquaintance. But make a commitment today as a priest of the Lord to pray for the lost and pray for someone by name. I hope that you have a great day. Let me say a word of prayer, and thank you again for listening to our midweek Bible study. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Help us to be the priest you've called us to be, to stand in the gap, make intercession for others, and to be good representatives to the world of who you are. Help us to give your praises out in such a way that people will recognize what a good and gracious God you truly are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.